Morning, everyone. Today's daf is, I really don't want to say it, but I'll say it. Today's daf is daf Chavtes. We are back on, I don't want to say this as well, but we're back on Chav Zayin Amud Aleph. Okay, embarrassed, obviously, but it's fine. Let's go, let's learn, let's make a concerted effort to catch up to where we need to be. We're on Chav Zayin Amud Aleph. We are halfway down in the Amud. Very difficult daf. We started yesterday, we're going to continue it today. And God willing, we'll make it back to where we should be. Learning we'll be doing will be the Zechna Nishmas Lupin Zaltzman, and thank the Lupin Foundation for sponsorship. Take a look right in the middle of the Amud. We're in the middle of a sentence, or the middle of a long sentence in the Gemara. So again, let's back ourselves up and let's discuss. Yesterday we were introduced to the idea of Chalitza Psula. Very, very interesting concept in the world of Yibum, one we have not seen yet. Its introduction was on Chavav Amud Beis, and the basic idea of Chalitza Psula is that really there's a Zika, there's a connection between the Yavam and the Yavama, but there's an impediment. He can't do Yibam for whatever reason. The primary one we've been discussing was Achot Zekuka So, right? She is the sister of your Zekuka. So in other words, there are two women that the Yavam is looking at, both of them are sisters, and so this one, both of them are Achot Zekuka So, which rabbinically would prohibit him from doing Yibam. So there's a Yibam impediment. Fine. So that means then that the chalitza that he does, he has to do chalitza because there's a zika. The chalitza that he does is a deficient chalitza. It's not going to be a superior chalitza. And as a result of that, what? So then it gets choppy. Right after that point in time, that's the basic idea. That's the general concept. That a chalitza psula is one where I can't do yibum for an external reason, for whatever reason, but there's still a zika, and the zika has to be severed, and its severance is going to be done through chalitza, but because I can't do yibum, so therefore the chalitza is deficient. Good. That's the starting point for the discussion, and from that point going forward, choppy waters. And the reason why they're choppy waters is because it's not exactly clear amongst the Amoraim. Well, the Amoraim are clear, but the Amoraim disagree in terms of what are going to be the ramifications of a Chalitza Psula. So we'll start off with the opinion of Rav. Rav, I guess, is the easiest opinion, meaning he's just kind of it's kind of objective, and that is a Chalitza Psula is deficient, and as a result of its deficiency, so every person who is involved in the Zika, every surviving brother, and presumably every widow, needs to do chalitza one to the other. In other words, the chalitza has to be done by all participants. Normally in the world of chalitza, what do we say? We said this all the way back on Daf Yud. We said that everyone represents, meaning that there's going to be one brother who's going to be representing all the other brothers. There's going to be one widow who's going to represent all of her co-wives. And once you have either Yibam or Chalitza done between one and one, so they're going to be the shliach of all the other participants involved. That's generally what we said. Well, not generally, that is what we said, going all the way back to Daf Yud. But in the terms of Chalitza Psula, because it's a deficient Chalitza, so therefore all the participants have to be involved. Okay, that is the opinion of Rav. And then we get to the opinion of Shmuel. Now Shmuel's position is a little bit less clear in terms of how to handle a Chalitza Psula. So we basically had two versions of Shmuel in the Gemara yesterday. Not two different versions, but two understandings of Shmuel. And so basically, understanding number one of Shmuel is that it depends. If there is no better option, meaning that right now all you have left is a Chalitza Psula and there's just simply no better option, so Chalitza Psula is all you need. And you don't need to, and you don't need all the participants to be involved in the chalitza. Just two of the participants, just one yavam and one yavama, and you don't need the other brothers, and you don't need the other co-wives. And that's if everything is being equal. So as I explained yesterday, according to the first understanding of Shmuel, chalitza psula is relativistic. It's subjective. It's only in the event that there's not a better chalitza, a person who is not more qualified, so to say, in the world of chalitza, then you'll have only one person doing it. But if there's a better person to do chalitza, meaning if somebody there does not have the impediment of yibum and can be doing chalitza, so it's better to be done by the one who could do the chalitza kshira rather than the one doing chalitza psula. That is version one of Shmuel. Version number two of Shmuel is as follows. Chalitza psula is deficient, and how does this deficiency manifest? How does it reflect? It reflects in the fact that it will unlock the yivama. Meaning when the Yavam does Chalitza Psula to the Yavama, it unlocks her. But it does not affect her co-wives. Meaning the co-wives are going to be still locked in that Zika, and they themselves are going to need another Chalitza. So that's the other way of understanding Shmuel's position. Good. So the way we have it laid out right now, I'm just giving a very general summation. We have the idea, the concept of chalitza psula. We have three different versions of how it manifests. Rav, which is objectively it's just deficient. Therefore, all the brothers, surviving brothers, have to do chalitza. Shmuel, it's Shmuel. Let's say part one or Shmuel version one is that it's relativistic. If you have a better person to do chalitza, have him do it. But otherwise, if everything's being equal, chalitza psula would work even by one yavam to one yavama. And then Shmuel version 2.0 is that the chalitza psula is effective, but only for the participants, and it will not help anybody else.
But that's similar to Rav.
It's similar to Rav, but not usually, right. Yeah, correct. I agree with you. Shmuel 2.0 is more similar to Rav.
The concept, why does it exist when you say for Ariot, for example, since there is no input to Ariot?
Correct. In other words, not to be confused. Very good. Very, very good. It's a new concept to digest in the world of Yevamos. When there's an Erva, when it's Ariot, so we've said before that means that there's going to be a total release from the mitzvah, meaning there's no Yibam and there's no Chalitza. Chalitza Psula means that there's still a Zika, meaning there's no exemption from the mitzvah of Yibam. The mitzvah of Yibam is there, but there's an impediment. Again, what the impediment is, so we can construct a number of scenarios where there would be an impediment. Notably, Achoz de Kukaso. That's just a popular one. That's the one we've been discussing the most. But in other words, there's an impediment. And the impediment can be rabbinic. Okay, but sometimes the Chachamim done that. The Chachamim, because of their own legislation, imposed an impediment that would prevent Yibam. But there's still a Zika. They can't uproot the mitzvah of Yibam. They could prevent the mitzvah of Yibam, but they can't uproot it. So then the chalitza becomes a chalitza psula. Which then means, again, if we want to think all this through and just, consider for just one more moment, which then means then that the whole concept of chalitza psula is really din derabanan, not a din deraisa. Okay.
Only in the world of yeshlika.
Oh, okay, good. Good. Yes, correct. I mean, then there would be not. In other words, that wouldn't rule out the whole idea of chalitza psula, but it would certainly rule out the idea of achoz de kukaso. That's true. That part's true. Okay. Now, good. That is a general summary. Chav Zayin Amud Aleph. Now we are in the Gemara, and the place where we're going to begin is the Lolifter Achayis Davilei Sarsi Shav Bezicha Kesef Shema. Okay, fine. So it's right. Maishna lachas a little nifter starts to have you. Okay, as you should patika. Okay, so Maishna. Let's start back. Chazayin Amud Aleph, 15 lines from the top of the Amud, approximately. Last two words in the line are Maishna. The Gemara went back and revisited the statement of Shmuel. Shmuel says that if I have, let's go over the case again. If I have three brothers, two of them married to two sisters, and in addition to being married to two sisters, the two brothers are married to two other women. Fine. So, and the two brothers dies, leaving us four widows. Of the four widows, two of them are sisters. So, what do we say? That the one surviving brother now, who's the Yavam, and he's got a Zika now to four women, two coming from one brother, two coming from the other brother, and again, two of them are sisters. Obviously, the two sisters were not married to the same man, obviously. So what does he do? So Shmuel says, if chalitza is done to the co-wives, so what do we say? Great. Meaning that's a good chalitza, that's a chalitza malyasa. But if chalitza is done to the sisters, that's chalitza psula. Why? Because the sisters are connected. They're both achos dekukaso. Therefore, he can't do yibum with the sisters. And because he can't do yibum with the sisters, so therefore the chalitza that's done is a chalitza psula. Fine. Maishna, the Gemara asks a very simple question. Maishna, well, it's not simple. I take it back. The word simple over here is really not ill-placed. So the Gemara says, let's try to understand this a little bit better. The reason why he can't do chalitza with the sisters, he can try to be clear in my presentation. He can do chalitza with the sisters, but it's going to be a deficient one, is the reason, and the reason is because they are achos isha bezika, otherwise known as achos zikukaso. Meaning that he can't do Yibam with the sisters, and because he can't do Yibam, the chalitza is going to be deficient. Chalasot saros nami. So the Gemara says, I don't understand. Shouldn't we be saying the same thing by the co-wives? And what have we been saying from day one regarding the co-wives? The co-wives of an erva is an erva. Now, this isn't exactly an erva, which the Gemara, by the way, is going to right now kind of gloss over, and the Gemara in just a moment is going to like really come back to. This isn't a real erva. But achuzikukaso means I can marry the sisters. And if you can't do even to the sisters, so don't we extend the same status to the co-wives? We've been doing that since day one of the Masechta, and that's exactly what bothers the Gemara. So saros nami lo lifter achas tahabilet saros achos isha bezika. What are those co-wives? Those co-wives are co-wives of achuzikukaso. And just like the sisters have a status where you can't do yibum, shouldn't we say the same thing regarding the co-wives? And let's just extend the question of the Gemara. And shouldn't your chalitza with the co-wives also be deficient? That's the Gemara's question. So kasav Shmuel ain't zika. So the Gemara starts off by maybe suggesting, well, Shmuel doesn't hold that there's a zika. So the Gemara says, a technical problem and not a small one. V'hamar Shmuel yesh zika. So the Gemara says, yeah, but Shmuel says that there is a zika. Again, go back to the zika discussion which took place on Yud Ches and Yud Tes in Yevamos. And Shmuel was the one who subscribed to the idea of a zika. L'divrei Omer ain't zika. So the Gemara says that when Shmuel was offering his ruling over here, he was doing it aliba according to the one who says yesh zika. I know that's confusing. I know that's very strange that Shmuel is proposing a psak that subscribes to a position that he himself personally doesn't hold to. I understand that's confusing, but okay, that's part of the difficulty, part of the degree of difficulty of today's daf, or yesterday's daf, or don't even ask me, Friday's daf. But anyway, so ein zika kamar. So ihachi chalos la'chayos amaylo nifteru. Saros, so the Gemara says, now if this is true, in other words, if we're saying now the Shmuel holds ain't Zika, so then what's the problem with the sisters? Sisters are fine. Because again, if Shmuel's right now himself doesn't hold of a Zika, so then you could do Chalitza to the sisters. So Bishlam et Saros derechel, oti pater dekevin dechalos alaleya, vahadechalos derechel, havile Chalitza derechel, Chalitza psula. So the Gemara says, look, let's take a look at the sisters and let's give the sisters names. One is Leah and the other one's Rachel. Great. And let's assume that Leah is the one that he does Chalitza with first. And right now we're holding Ein Zika. Okay, fine. Good, no Zika. Now when he does Chalitza with Leah, so I understand Rachel now becomes a problem. Because it's Achos Chalutzaso. The Chalitza that's done with Leah creates a connection. I know it's strange, but again, just the more times we hear this, the more times we're going to absorb. When you do chalitza with a woman, even though that means that you severed, it means you severed a relationship. That means that there's a relationship. Albeit it's on a derabbanan level, but there's a relationship. So just like you can't marry any of the relatives of your wife or ex-wife, here, kind of ex-wife. It's a chalitza. So now Rachel becomes achos chalitzaso. So he can't do chalitza with Rachel. And again, just to clarify my statement, he can, it's just deficient. So the Gemara says, that I get. But Elotzar de Leah tipater. But what I don't understand is, so but do chalitza with Leah, I mean that's the first sister, and that's a bona fide chalitza. And again, if you're operating with the assumption of Ein Zika, so then it's a bona fide chalitza. So not only should that chalitza help for Leah, but it should also help for a co-wife as well. And what's the problem? The problem is that's not what Shmuel said. So Milo, I'm sorry, Tipater. Good. That's the question on the table. Why not allow the chalitza to be done with Rachel? Sorry, the chalitza to be done with Leah. Why not that considered to be a bona fide chalitza and exempt her, release her, Leah, and her co-wife as well? That's the Gemara's question, according to Shmuel. So Milo Niftur Tsaros Nami Dikamar Asar de Rachel. So the Gemara starts to finesse. The Gemara says, well, you know what Shmuel meant? When Shmuel says that chalitza is not going to be helpful for the co-wife, it was speaking specifically about the co-wife of Rachel. Vatsaros Kamar, the Gemara says, here comes a not so simple problem, and that is, he didn't say that. He said Tsaros, co-wives. So Tsaros Alma. So the Gemara says he was speaking in generalities, meaning in general when this case occurs, because you know how often this is going to happen, two brothers are dead, each one of them leaving a sister and a co-wife. When this happens, so you know, in general, the co-wives are not going to be released. Not both co-wives, because the co-wife of Leah will be released, because the chalitza that was done with Leah was a bona fide chalitza. We're talking about the co-wife of Rachel. So the Gemara says, still it's a problem. Still it's going to be a problem. Again, let's set ourselves up for understanding. We have now one surviving brother. We have two dead brothers. We have four widows. Of the four widows, two of them are sisters. Two of them are co-wives of the two sisters. Okay. Now, we're calling the older sister Leah, we're calling the younger sister Rachel. Now, what do we say? We're suggesting that again, with the assumption of that there's no Zika, ain't Zika. So therefore, we have sidestepped the Achos the Kukaso problem. So what have we stated? We have stated that that when he does Chalitza with Leah, the first of the sisters, so that's a totally acceptable Chalitza, a Chalitza Maliasa, okay? Which means that it will release Leah and it will release her co-wife. Good. Handled. Now we move on to the next set of widows, right? Rachel and her co-wife. So what do we say? Well, he can't do Chalitza with Rachel because that's Achos Chalutzasa. Fine. Now we're looking at the other one. Well, maybe he can do Chalitza to the other one, which would be a bona fide Chalitza. At this juncture, the Gemara is saying that's not true. That's simply not going to be the case. Either Chalitza to either Rachel or her co-wife is simply going to be a deficient one. Why? So this is based on a Mishnah, which we're going to see in 2 short weeks from now. The Mishnah Daf Mem Amud Beis writes, I know at our rate I'm wrong, but that's hopefully that'll change. Aser Adam Bitzaras Krovas Chalutzasa. Okay, the Mishnah later on says that a person's prohibited to marry the co-wife of Krovas Chalutzasa. Okay, so in of itself, this is what I would suggest you do for the rest of today is just keep repeating this line over and over again. It's one line of Mishnah that is it's not complicated, it's just you have to think about it in order to really digest. That means that if you have a chalutza, which is basically a severed relationship with a woman, so you can't marry her relatives, and you can't marry the co-wives of those relatives. Now, that's a rabbinic injunction.
That's a double injunction.
Yeah, correct. It's correct. In other words, the more you say it and the more you think about it, you're like, really? Why should that be? So right now, we'll bypass an explanation. We'll just simply state it as a fact. It is. It's a Mishnah. And later, when we get to Daf Mem, we'll understand it better. But right now, that's just the halacha. Let's just say the halacha, and then in terms of understanding it, we'll understand a later point in time. The halacha is that if you have a chalutza, you can't marry her relatives. Good. That we all understand. And you can't marry the co-wives of those relatives. Okay, why not? Again, stay tuned. Right, you know, stay with the daf. No. Relatives which are prohibited, meaning the prohibited relatives of the chalutza. So the co-wives of such relatives are also going to be prohibited as well. Fine. So now that that's true, okay, that's a mission, that's true. So now that that's true, so what does that mean? So once he did chalitza to Leah, the first sister, so then that means Rachel is now... She's prohibited, and based on that Mishnah, Daf Mem, so are the co-wives. They're also prohibited. So now that means that he can't do Yibum neither with Rachel nor with her co-wife. Now, assuming all that, so now we're kind of stuck. Because what did Shmuel say? You can't do Yibum. I'm sorry. You can't. It's not going to be a good Chalitza to the sisters, but it would be a good Chalitza to the co-wives. No, it's not. It's not. So Shmuel Nami, Hischa v'lo Hischa Kamar. So now the Gemara, meaning we've already taken Shmuel's position and done a number of maneuvers to defend his position, the Gemara is going to do one final maneuver in order to defend his position, which is Hischa v'lo Hischa Kamar. Shmuel was describing the following. In other words, we are very much modifying the statement of Shmuel, and that is Hischa b'chayis v'lo Hischa b'tzaros. If you start with the sister... So that's it. You can't finish with the co-wives. Meaning, so if you start with Leah, and you do Chalitza to Leah, so that puts you now in a tough spot. Because now that you did Chalitza to Leah, so again, the Chalitza with Leah is great. Assuming ain't Zika, the Chalitza with Leah is great, and it's going to release Leah's co-wife as well. But then you move on to the next pair, which is Rachel and her co-wife. So now, one Chalitza is not going to help you. You can't do chalitza to Rachel, she's Achos Chalutzasa, and you can't do chalitza to Rachel's co-wife because she is Tsaras Krovas Chalutzasa, as per the Mishnah Daf Mem. Good. So if you, that's what Shmuel meant. Did not Asar Adam Tsaras Krovas Chalutzasa, but his Chalutzaras Digmar Af Ba'Chayos. But here's that's the bad news. Here's the good news. If I know good news, bad news, but here's the good news. If you started Chalitza with the co-wife of Leah, oh, that's good. Meaning because that Chalitza done with the co-wife of Leah is going to release not only the co-wife of Leah, but Leah herself. Fine. And then when you get on to the next pair, you could do Chalitza to either Rachel or her co-wife. Because what's this? This is the next line of the Mishnah Daf Mem. Mutar Adam Bikrovat Saras Chalitza So. A person's allowed to marry... the relative of the co-wife of his chalitza, of his chalutza. So in other words, he did chalitza to Leah's co-wife. So now what is Leah? Leah's the co-wife of a chalutza. Okay. And what about Leah's relatives? Mutter. That's the Mishnah on Daf Mem. So there are two sides to that Mishnah. So if I started with the co-wife of Leah, which releases the co-wife and Leah, so then when I go to Rachel, I could do chalitza to either one. That's what Shmuel meant. Okay, now that was a mouthful. In the position of Shmuel. And by the way, hopefully as much as you could stay with me on this. And by the way, all this was subscribing to the viewpoint of Ein Zika, even though Shmuel himself holds Yesh Zika. So, okay, that was all to defend the position of Shmuel. Rav Ashi Amar La'olam Kedekamar. And Rav Ashi says, can we take not one small step backwards, but can we take one giant step backwards? Rav Ashi says no. Let's go back to what we originally proposed. First of all, Shmuel holds Yesh Zika. Okay, that's what he holds. Meaning that's what the Gemara said 10 dapim ago. Let's start there. And let's also say that according to Shmuel, let's go with Shmuel's simple pshat in his statement, which is that if you do chalitza to the sisters, that's not going to release the co-wives. If I do chalitza to the co-wives, that will release the sisters. And let's stay with the simple pshat in Shmuel. Now, what was our original question, and what prompted us to go into these serious calisthenics of, well, we're talking about if I first start off with Rachel, if I first start off with Leah, then I... In other words, Gemara says no. Let's start off with, first of all, Yesh Zika, that's Shmuel's position, and let's assume the Shmuel is saying what he's saying, which is that chalitza to the sisters is deficient. Chalitza to the co-wives of the sister is mal yasa, that's good. And now the Gemara says, what bothered us? What bothered us is Saraserva. Day one of the Masechta. The co-wife of an Erva has the status of an Erva. And isn't that the same thing is true over here? These women who are co-wives to Leah and Rachel, aren't they the co-wife of an Erva? To which now the Gemara is going to say they're not. I whispered this earlier, but now the Gemara is going to say it straight out. They're not the co-wives of Erva. Rachel and Leah are not Arayos. What are they? Acha Zekukaso. That's a din derabanan. So what these other women are co-wives to quasi-erva, to derabanan erva. That's not the same as being the co-wife of an erva. And the Gemara makes that point right now. Rav Ashi Amar Lolam Kedekamar, Mishum Delo Alima Zika, Lishavia Litzara Ke-erva. There it is. The Gemara says that, no. What we're going to say now is as follows. We're going to say that these co-wives of Rachel and Leah are not Saras erva. Because Rachel and Leah, to this one remaining Yavam, are not Arayos. The only impediment that prevents him, the remaining Yavam, to do Yibam to these two sisters is Acha Zekukaso, which is a Din D'Rabbanan. And the rabbis, even though they gave these women a status of impediment, and you can't do Yibam, but not to the degree of Erva. They're not an Erva. Therefore, the co-wives are not, don't have the same status as these women. These women have a quasi-erva status, which doesn't then translate to the co-wives. It's not the same as an erva. And then you should be able to do yibum to the co-wives. Maybe. You could be right. So Tanya Kavasa de Rav Ashi, and the Gemara says, and look, and I'm gonna prove to you that Rav Ashi is correct based on the following Braisa. Chalasa chayos l'niftar tzaros. The Braisa says that if I do chalitza to the sisters, the co-wives are not released. What implicit in that statement is that if you do yibum, if you do chalitza to the co-wives, that's going to release the sisters. So my time allow me shum de kasavi yeshika. Now again, what's behind the brisa? So first of all, the position of yeshika, it's got to be because the brisa says that I can't do chalitza to the. Well, I can. The chalitza done to the sisters is not going to release the co-wives. Why not? Oh, because it's deficient. Why is it deficient? Because it's Yeshika, and each of the sisters is Achot Zekukaso. V'lo alima zika l'shav l'tzor k'erva. And why then would the Braisa imply that if you did a chalitza to the co-wives, it's going to release the sisters? Oh, it must be because even though the Chachamim gave the sister status of erva, but it's not real erva. It's not erva min haTorah. It's a quasi erva, and that status doesn't translate over to the co-wives. Good. So this brisa would support Rav Ashi's position. So the Gemara tries to deflect, meaning Again, what the Gemara is doing right now is just being argumentative. Not for the sake of being argumentative, but if you want to bring a Braisa to prove Rav Ashi, it's only going to prove Rav Ashi if there's no other conclusion. All the Gemara is going to do right now is provide another way to understand the Braisa. Okay? So the Gemara, just for the next three or four lines, is just going to be argumentative. So, the Gemara says, well, maybe the author of the Braisa is Beit Shammai, and Beit Shammai allows the co-wife. So the Gemara says, Beit Shammai? Really? That's what you're introducing over here? So the Gemara says, if that's true, so according to Beit Shammai, you know you're allowed to marry the co-wives, right? Beit Shammai permits the co-wives, right? Go back to Daf Yud Gimel. So the Gemara says, So the Gemara says, yeah, but you know what? The Braisa is going like Beit Shammai, but with the takana of Rav Yochanan ben Nuri. Remember, Rav Yochanan ben Nuri tried to create Shalom al Yisrael, and we'll get to that in just a second. Great memory. So Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri tried to create Shalom al Yisrael, and therefore tried to legislate across the board that in the situation of Tzoros Erva, so that we can both live together, Beit Shammai and Beit Hillel, so everyone's going to receive Chalitza. So the Gemara says, So the Gemara says, remember, we didn't accept Rav Yochanan ben Nuri. So Rav Nachman Yitzchak says, well, no, the later they accepted it. Now that liar, Rav Nachman Yitzchak, I have to be honest with you, that came out of left field. Meaning because we've spoken about Rav Yochanan ben Nuri already a number of times in the Masechta, and every time it has come up, the Gemara simply said, yeah, but his proposal was never accepted. And now the Gemara says, in order to deflect the proof, the Gemara says, well, Rav Nachman Yitzchak says that, okay, but ultimately was accepted. And maybe that's what the Braisa is working with. It's, keep in mind right now, all we're doing right now is trying to deflect the proof. So to what degree is the Gemara right now buying into this Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchak that they eventually accepted Rav Yochanan ben Nuri? I don't know, it's hard to say. Because all the Gemara right now, the objective of the Gemara right now is just simply to deflect the proof that Rav Ashi wanted to offer to support his position. Okay, that was a mouthful. Meaning, that Chav Zayin Amaraf, which we just concluded, is one of the trickier parts of our Masechta. Okay, I don't remember the entire Masechta, to be honest with you, to tell you that this is going to be the hardest, but it's definitely difficult. But again, just the basic ideas to walk away from this whole discussion are the basic idea of Chalitza Psula, the effects of a Chalitza Psula, and an attempt to understand in a scenario where one surviving brother, four widows, two of them are sisters, Shmuel's position is that if I do Chalitza to the sisters, it's a deficient chalitza which will not release the co-wives, but if I do it to the co-wives, it will release the sisters, and attempt to understand the mechanics behind that psak of Shmuel. Ibai Elohim. Let's go on. We're now on the top of Chazayin Amud Beis. Baas Negedu Baas Maimer. Eza Mem Kodemes. Okay. A man has got two options. Right? A person's brother died, leaving two wives. And this Yavam, let's just say he's a little bit confused. I know yesterday we poked fun at one of the Yavams for going with option C. Over here, this person is, to say the least, a little bit confused. So what does he do with his two Yavamas? Again, they're co-wives, so that means they're coming from Mibayis Echad. So he, to one of them does Maimer, and to the other one does a Get, gives a Get. Okay, now. Now, the fact that he now is given a get to one of them, so what does that indicate? That that's it. There's no longer a mitzvah of yibum. Now, again, as we discussed already yesterday, get in this scenario is just simply not one of the options the Torah provides. The Torah provides an option of yibum. The Torah provides an option of chalitza. Get just simply not one of those options. Okay, understood. But still. He did Maimer to one, he did Get to another. So now what he has to do is he has to release. And now the question on the table is, which one is Adif? Which one is better? And Rashi, clarifying the question of the Gemara, writes, the question on the table is as this. All right, look at the first Rashi on this Amud. V'lo Beis Nashim. V'asav Zem Maimer L'zu V'get L'zu. He does Maimer to one, he gives a get to the other. V'shuv Asa L'yaben. Okay, so now he can't do Yibam anymore. D'kam Le B'lo Yibaneh. Because now he's in the world of, I'm not interested. Kevin she'ischol agarish ezo mehem haguna lachlos v'liftor tzarasa. Which one is preferable to do chalitza in order to unlock the other? This takes us back, this harkens us back to the Shmuel model of chalitza psula, which is that it's relativistic. That as long as you have the better, as long as you do the better one, that'll release the weaker one. Okay? So in this context, that's essentially what the Gemara now is asking. Which one is the quote-unquote, the better chalitza, which would release and unlock the other co-wife? Good. So, Adifa Mishum Da'aschal, I'm sorry. So the Gemara goes over both proposals. So, Balas Maimei Zemim Kodemus, Balas Aget Adifa, second line. Balas Aget Adifa, so on one hand, you can make the argument that the Balas Aget is better. Why Mishum Da'aschal Ba'be Chalitza? Because basically, with her, you started the severing process. Again, you went about it all wrong. You gave her a get. But surely it's an indication that you're no longer interested. Oh, Dilma Balas Maimer Adifa Mishum Dekrov Libya. On the other hand, the Balas Maimer might be a better consideration because you're closer to her. Now, physically, we're talking halachically, we're talking legally. You did do Maimer to her, which was an indication that you are now starting the process of Yibum. So maybe because of that, you have a quote-unquote closer relationship, a stronger bond with her, which means that maybe with her, the chalitza will be more effective. So the Gemara quotes an opinion of Rabbi Gamliel. Now this is based on a Mishnah later on. Quickly, I'm going to lay out this Mishnah. We'll discuss it in much greater detail later on. And that is the scenario where you have multiple Yavamas and you start handing out get. You hand out a get to this one, you hand out a get to that one. And I don't understand the motivation, but okay, you start handing out a get. Now there's a question on the table. Now the get that you hand out to the first one gives her a status. She is now, even though get is really not the option the Torah provides, she's now a grusha. In other words, she's a balas get. The second one you gave a get to, does that have any status whatsoever? That's a machlokas in the Mishnah upcoming. We'll talk about it later on. In the meantime, however, right now we just want to focus on the opinion of Rabbi Gamliel, which is there's get acha maimer, maimer acha get. Even though Rabbi Gamliel is of the opinion that ain't get acha get, vein maimer acha maimer, if I'm repeating the same action to another of the co-wives, it has zero status whatsoever, but that's if I repeat the same thing. But if I do get after maimer, or if I do maimer after get, so they both have status. What does that tell you? That in certain respects, get is better / different than maimer, and in certain respects, maimer is different / better than get. E get adif lalehani maimer abasrei. The e maimer adif lalehani get abasrei. So the Gemara says, look, if maimer is quote-unquote superior, so then get afterwards should be nothing. And if get quote-unquote is superior, so then maimer afterwards should be nothing. Shmamina ki hadad eninu. So that means then that they are of equal status. They're obviously different, obviously. One is trying to create a connection, and the other one is trying to create a severance. But they're different, but in terms of degree of impact, what the Gemara now is arguing is that they're the same. So Shmamina. So then to our original question of, we're trying to gauge which chalitza would be better, the answer is neither. Meaning, we'll go with option C, which is, neither chalitza would be a better chalitza, and then all things would be equal, and if all things would be equal, so according to one version of Shmuel, such a chalitza would be accepted, that would be fine. Amar Rav Huna Amar Rav, let's go on in the Gemara. Okay, and now we start not a new topic, but we're still in the world of chalitza, but a really interesting discussion in the Gemara. Basically, what we're going to present is as follows. Let me just give a quick introduction to the Gemara upcoming. And that is, let's say a woman had a mitzvah of Yibum, an impediment, and the impediment was removed. Can you go back to the mitzvah of Yibum once the impediment is removed? So let's see this inside. Really interesting discussion coming up, and this discussion will take us through most of Daf Chaf Chas. We begin. Amar Avon Amar Rav. Beza Chayos Yavamo Shenaflu Lifnei Yavamachad. Okay, we have two sisters who are also sister-in-laws. They fall in front of one Yavam. Okay, now, if they're sisters and they're sister-in-laws, So that means that two brothers were married to two sisters, right? That's the construct, obviously. So that means that the two brothers died and leaving one surviving brother. Okay. So, but now there are two separate zikas because they're coming from two different husbands. Chalas l'rishona hutra, chalas l'shnia hutra. We're going to start off easy. You do chalitza to one, she's released. You do chalitza to the other, she too is released. Okay, nice and easy. Mesa rishona muta b'shnia. Now, if the first one dies, he's allowed to marry the second one. Ve'ein tzarich lomar mesa shnia shemuta b'rishona. And if the second one dies, it goes without saying that he's allowed to marry the first one. Mishum da'ava yavama shehutra, v'nesra, v'chazar v'hutra, tachzor le'heter rishona, or ha'rishona. Good. Now we're going to talk about what happens if one of these sisters die. You see, if one of these sisters die, so that allows an opportunity for him to do the mitzvah of Yibum. Now, even though...
The timing is not important.
The timing is important. Even though, at one point in time... in other words, let's look at them in a sequence. Okay, let's assume the brothers didn't die simultaneously. The Gemara in a moment. Later on, the Gemara is going to entertain that possibility, but let's assume that they died in a sequence. So let's sister number one, sister number two. Okay, let's just give them numbers instead of names. So if sister number one, meaning when I say sister number one, I mean she was the first one who was a candidate of Yibum, meaning she's the first widow. So now, when she's presented by herself, what is she? Mutter. She's not achuz zekukaso. Her sister number two yet hasn't become a widow. So sister number one is someone who was muteris. When sister number two now becomes the yavama, so now what happens? Impediment. Right. At this juncture now, you can't do yibum to either, because both of them are achuz zekukaso. And now obviously, we're going to be assuming yeshika. Okay, obviously. Now, we're going to be discussing what happens if one of the sisters dies. Now, if the second sister dies, that presents a strong argument that the first sister should now become mutter. Because think about it. Originally, she was mutter when she was the only widow. Then when her sister becomes a widow, she becomes prohibited. The impediment is achuz zekukaso. Then if, God forbid, the second sister dies, the first one now becomes permitted. So she went from heter to iser to heter. Good. Now let's describe a scenario where the first sister dies. So again, first sister becomes a widow, she's heter. The second sister now becomes a widow, they both are iser. Now think about this. When the second sister is presented, at the moment of presentation, at the moment of candidacy, she was usser.
She's duplicated.
So another, right, so correct. Right, I was thinking, it's funny you say that, I was thinking about the concept of dichui b'mitzvos, although the Gemara is not going to utter that phrase. And again, we're not talking about objects, we're talking about people. But I was sort of thinking about that. So the second sister now, at the moment of candidacy, is usser. So when the first sister dies, so now the second sister becomes mutter, at least that's Rav's opinion. Although one can make a very easy argument and say, no, she's not like the first sister. The first sister went from heter to iser to heter, meaning fundamentally she was mutter, and then the impediment was created because the second sister became available for yibum. In the reverse scenario, where it's the second sister who is now the only surviving sister, but at the point of candidacy, at the point where she becomes the yavama, she was also from the start. So, Rav is of the opinion it doesn't matter. Rav says in both scenarios, it would be acceptable.
And there's a problem. If she was Usher, then she can go and marry somebody else.
No. But the thing is, no. Usher means that she the Chachamim prevented Yibum.
Why can you use that Chachamim Achod Isha when your wife's sister, she's not mutter until your wife dies. Then if she's turned after your wife's dead, so here you have just as...
Okay, well, let's right now analyze the Gemara just from the perspective of the Gemara. Rav Yochanan Amar Mesa Shnia Mutter Bishona. Ava Mesa Rishona Asa Bishnia. And Rav Yochanan makes exactly that split. Where? If widow number one is... Not if. Widow number one is mutter because, again, by herself, she's just one widow with the chance of doing the mitzvah of Yibum. And then her sister becomes a widow, and now the so now these sisters are also sister-in-laws now, and widow number one now is prevented from the mitzvah of Yibam, but if widow number two dies, widow number one resumes her status of being mutal Yibam. Good. But Rav Yochanan says, but not in the reverse case. Not where it's widow number one followed then by widow number two, and then widow number one dies, widow number two does not become eligible for the mitzvah of Yibam. Why? Because widow number two, at the point of Nefila, at the point of candidacy, she was always a surah from that very moment. My taima, and the Gemara actually spells this out. Shekol yivam she'en ani korei ba b'shas nefila yivam yivala reze ke'esh esach she'esh labanim v'asura. So that is Rav Yochanan's position. Okay, v'rav leisle ha'isvara. Now the Gemara says that that argument of Rav Yochanan seems to be a very strong argument, and moreover, Rav, it seems like you agree with that argument. V'amar Rav kolisha she'en ani korei ba b'shas nefila yivam yivala rei ke'esh esach she'esh labanim v'asura. So the Gemara says, and Rav, don't you subscribe to that argument that if at the point of Nefila a woman is prohibited to her husband, so then even if there's a point of eligibility afterwards, too late. So now, and Ben, this is kind of what you were asking me earlier. So the Gemara says, yes, that's true. But we're talking about where the ineligibility is a significant ineligibility, meaning arayas, an error from the Torah. Avahacha zika derabanani. But over here we're talking about a zika, meaning the only thing that is preventing widow number two I'm going to remember English in just a moment. The only thing that's preventing widow number two from actualizing her mitzvah of Yibam is a din derabanan. It's zika. That's the only thing that's preventing her. And so therefore, Rav will say that in this particular scenario, I know at the time in Nefila she was ineligible. But that's a din derabanan that prevented her. Once that din derabanan is removed, once that impediment is removed, so then we can go back and look at her as a Yevama candidate who can do the mitzvah of Yibam. Okay, so what we have over here is really a fascinating machlokes between Rav and Rav Yochanan, describing a scenario where if a woman is eligible, ineligible, and eligible, we said good. If a woman is ineligible at the beginning, so if the ineligibility is an Isser Erva, so fine. Rav and Rav Yochanan both agree that that's not going to work. It can't, even if that ineligibility is ultimately lifted. And then the point of dispute between Rav and Rav Yochanan is, what if in a scenario where it starts from a point of ineligibility, but because of a din derabanan, notably Zika, achos de kukaso, and then that's lifted, so then what do we say? Rav says, she's good. She becomes eligible for the mitzvah of Yibam, and Rav Yochanan disagrees. Good. That's the machlokas as it's laid out.
How about Asad Bechulo?
Yeah. Well, again, the Gemara asks version.
Right.
So go back to the Gemara's answer on Daf Chaf, which is that for the mitzvah, for the Bia Rishona, we would say yes, but then the Bia Shnia. No, I mean, that was the Gemara's, Gemara equivocated, but that was Gemara's end point over there. Okay. Right, correct. In other words, it's strictly for, right, that's Rav's thought process, meaning it's a din derabanan which is creating the impediment, okay, but that means that fundamentally she is really a candidate. Okay, so, Eisrei Rav Yosef, Rav Chinil, Rav Yochanan. So the Gemara says, okay, now to Rav Yochanan, I will ask but one simple question. Rav Yochanan, a Mishnah, the first Mishnah of the third parak of Yevamos. Okay, we saw this Mishnah now 2 days ago, let's see the Mishnah again. The Mishnah describes a scenario where I had four brothers, two of them are married to two sisters, and the two brothers died, and leaving those two sisters now as candidates for Yibam for the two surviving brothers. What did the Mishnah say? The two surviving brothers are going to be doing Chalitza, and nothing but Chalitza, and not Yibam. That's the Mishnah. So the Gemara says, according to you, Rav Yochanan, let us think about this. Ve'amai. So now let us have one of the brothers do chalitza. So v'tahave rishonu lagabi idach ki yevama shehutra v'nesra v'chazra v'hutra tachzor le'eter harishon. So they say to Rav Yochanan, consider the following. Now, again, let's assume that the two sisters did not become widows concurrently, which the Gemara later on will entertain. But let's assume they didn't become widows concurrently. That means that there is a widow number one and a widow number two in sequence. That means that when widow number one became widow number one, she was at that point in time muteris. There was no impediment. And only because her sister becomes a widow, now there is an impediment. Okay, so why don't we do the following? This is a question posed to Rav Yochanan. Why don't we have one of the brothers do chalitza to widow number two, now removing the impediment, and allow the other brother, the other surviving brother, to do yibum to widow number one? Rav Yochanan, didn't you say that that's okay? It's a good question. So the Gemara says, Kivam Shuch of Nesra Vachazav Hutchav Tachzul Eteri Shona, Amarle Achayos Eni Yodea Mishanan. The Gemara takes an answer out over here out of a playbook, and you're not going to see this play used very often in the Gemara. This is a rare move on the part of Rav Yochanan. Rav Yochanan says, I'm dismissing the Mishnah. Okay, now, this is unusual. In the world of Daf Yomi, right, in the world of Daf Yomi, we do not see this that often, where Rav Yochanan is able to dismiss a Mishnah. We normally say Rav Tanu Polig, that Rav has the status of a Tan, he can argue with a Mishnah. Where else do we have this? I don't know. I'll go to the Rolodex in my head, but it's not that good, and I don't know. I don't know where else we have such a move in the Gemara. But Rav Yochanan says, look, it's good, it's a good question, but I simply don't subscribe to our Mishnah.
He's going to allow him to do it then.
Correct. In other words, Rav Yochanan would answer, no, that's right, you could do that. The move that you just suggested is totally legitimate. So, v'lei malei, so the Gemara now is wondering, meaning instead of doing such a radical thing of dismissing a Mishnah, why doesn't Rav Yochanan just provide a different context to the Mishnah so you don't have to expunge a Mishnah? Expunging a Mishnah is extraordinarily radical. And so what the Gemara wants to know is, was there any other way that he could have addressed the Mishnah instead of just simply dismissing it? And that's what we're going to be doing now for almost the next Amud. So let's follow. So the Gemara says, so, v'lei malei, my choltzos nami dekani chol letzes. So chada. So the Gemara says, well, maybe choltzos means one. So the Gemara says, choltzos katani. No, that can't be, because it says choltzos, which means two chalitzas. V'lei malei, my choltzos dama. So the Gemara says, well, look, we just heard this kind of argument earlier in the daf today, and that is sweeping generalities. Maybe chalitza means that in general, if this case comes up, so you do chalitza. For cases like these. So the Gemara says, Hare elu ketani. The Gemara says, no, because it says elu chalitza, meaning these two specific women are going to be receiving chalitza from the two brothers. V'lema de chalitza l'rishon b'resha. So the Gemara says, Well, maybe chalitza was done to the first wife originally. So cholzos lichatchila ketani. So the Gemara says no, but the word cholzos means this is the way you do it a priori. This is not a bidyevit situation. This is what you have to do. So the Gemara says, well, maybe look, Rav Yochanan, you're fundamentally right. That if you did chalitza to the second widow, the first widow becomes mutter, but maybe what the rabbis did is legislated chalitza in such a scenario for fear that maybe chalitza is done with widow number one before widow number two. So the Gemara says, no, I mean, Rav Yochanan is not ready to entertain such an idea. No, because when the Mishnah says lo misyabos, it means that yibum is not even a consideration over here, which Rav Yochanan is not ready to accept, because according to Rav Yochanan, yibum is a consideration. So the Gemara says, well, maybe over here it's another rabbinic legislation, like we've seen earlier in the Masechta. Meaning maybe in theory, yes, you could have one of the brothers doing chalitza to widow number two, allowing then the other brother to do yibum to widow number one. That's true. But maybe we're concerned with that before the second brother is able to do anything, he dies, making now a negation of the mitzvah of Yibum, and we've said this already a number of times, also levato mitzvah Yivamim, that we don't want to put ourselves in a position we're going to end up neglecting the mitzvah of Yibum. But again, all this is out of concern that maybe one of the brothers is going to die. Rav Yochanan lemisa lo chayish. So the Gemara says, now that Rav Yochanan is not worried about death. Interesting, because earlier the Gemara always was worried about Misa in this context, and now the Gemara is not, but again, Rav Yochanan's not. But all we're doing right now is explaining why Rav Yochanan doesn't explain our Mishnah in any other avenue rather than just simply rejecting the Mishnah. So the Gemara says, maybe our Mishnah subscribes to the viewpoint of Rabbi Elazar. Rashi points out it's Rabbi Elazar. Rabbi Elazar coming up later in the Mishnayos. We haven't seen this position yet, but Rabbi Elazar is of the opinion that once a woman becomes ineligible for Yibam, she always will be ineligible, even if the reason of ineligibility is gone. So the Gemara says, so meaning, you're right, Rabbi Elazar's position is usually rejected, but at least save the Mishnah. Meaning right now, all the Gemara wants to do now is just save the Mishnah. Let's at least keep the Mishnah in place. Rav Yochanan will end up rejecting it because he holds like Rabbi Elazar, but at least save the Mishnah. So mid the Sefer, Rabbi Elazar, Reish Alav, Rabbi Elazar. So the Gemara says, no, you can't do that because the Sefer is going like Rabbi Elazar, and I'm sorry, right, because a later Mishnah is going to be like Rabbi Elazar, and that means then that all the previous Mishnahs are not going like Rabbi Elazar. So the Gemara now is proposing, well, maybe, just maybe, the author of this Mishnah subscribes to the viewpoint of Rabbi Yossi HaGlili, and things can happen in the absolute same moment, what's called the idea of Efshel Etzamtzim, and maybe both widows became widows simultaneously, meaning the brothers died at the exact same time, car headed down the cliff, and they died simultaneously, and we can say with precision that they died at the same time, Lo Sasan Lantanik or Rabbi Yossi HaGlili. Interesting. The Gemara says you're not going to find a Stam Mishnah going like Rabbi Yossi HaGlili. Meaning that generally speaking, we assume Eshel Etzamtzim. And even though it's Rav Yossi HaGlili who says Eshel Etzamtzim, but you're not going to see an anonymous Mishnah subscribing to that viewpoint. Right. So the Gemara says, well, maybe we just don't know. Meaning, again, we'll go back to that car crash. The two brothers were in a car. They headed down a cliff together. And we don't know which one of them died first. So the Gemara says, Rav Yochanan is not even ready to entertain. That is a plausible explanation of the Mishnah. Because what did the Mishnah say? And if the brothers do Yibam, so Beis Din will pull the brothers, the two surviving brothers aside and said, what you did is wrong. And not only that, but we're forcing you to divorce. So, and Bishlama Rishonar Minalei Man Shayalach. Now, to the first brother, we're going to say to him, look, who told you that was okay? It's not okay. But Ela Shnia Amar, but as far as the second brother is concerned, he will have a legitimate argument, which is, look, Chavrei Shnia Yivam An Rishonam Yabem. Look, at least it's plausible to suggest that what my brother did is take widow number two, and I took widow number one. Now, of course we don't know, and it doesn't have to be that way, but at least that is open for discussion, and because it's open for discussion, that means now it's a suffix on achaz de kukaso, and we're not going to sever a marriage based on suffix achaz de kukaso, so hainu de kamar le'achayis en edim mishanan, which then the Gemara ends up saying, and now that we've exhausted every single possibility of how Rav Yochanan could have explained the Mishnah, now we understand, okay, I know I went through that quickly, now we understand why it is that Rav Yochanan says, look, I just simply reject the Mishnah out of hand. So again, let's quickly summarize. Okay, well, we're up to yesterday's daf, that's good. We did okay. Yeah. So let's quickly summarize. So today what we got to see are two big topics in the world of Yevamos. One is the conclusion of the topic of Chalitza Psula and the ramifications of Chalitza Psula and Rav Shmuel version 1 and Shmuel version 2 and a conclusion of that topic. Then we saw today the beginning of a discussion. Tomorrow we're going to finish it up, of what happens when a woman is eligible for Yibam, ineligible for a rabbinic reason, and then eligible once again. So Rav and Rav Yochanan are both subscribing to the viewpoint that that's fine. What if she starts ineligible? So if her ineligibility started because of an erva, because she's achos isha, so then that ineligibility will continue even if she's no longer a chosisha. But if the ineligibility at the time of Nefila is a rabbinic, i.e. achaz de kukaso, so there we have a machlokes between Rav and Rav Yochanan. Rav says it's fine, Rav Yochanan says it's not fine. And then the problem was, our Mishnah describes exactly that scenario. What's Rav Yochanan going to do with that Mishnah? And in a radical move of the Gemara, Rav Yochanan says, I don't accept that Mishnah. Okay, stop over here, tomorrow pick it up.